Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
842, 18 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to our friend Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good now that all the snow is gone.
Yeah, first things first, how'd you and the family fare? Did y'all have a snow day? Did you have some fun?
Everybody had fun, thanks for asking. My teenage daughters were actually ready to go back to school by Thursday. I think they missed their friends.
Yeah, that happens. You mean dad wasn't enough for them?
No, absolutely not. Not for teenage girls. They want to be with their friends and not their parents. That's a very healthy thing.
Yeah. You know what, Joe? That's exactly right. And that goes the Saturday Night Live bit with whomever it was that wanted to hang out with their mom. You remember that? So you parents,
yeah, that's
you
exactly
parents
right.
Remember, it's a perfectly healthy thing. That's the way it's supposed to be. Another thing that I wanted to get out of the way real quick is Super Bowl suite tickets. Can you hook me up for up?
We'll talk about that offline. How about we do it that way?
That's a hard no for those wondering. Let's talk seriously about first of all, okay, Bora Water Advisory, the Sewage and Water Board. I don't know that you can blame anybody for any of this. Thoughts on the prediction, the response, city's response, everything else about the snow event?
Yeah, I think I've been thinking about this the last couple of days as it happened. First, I don't know that people have really talked about this enough, which is Sewage and Water Board was really caught between a rock and a hard place on this one when it came to homeowners and businesses, because if they told people don't drip the faucets, then what's going to happen? People run the risk of busting their pipes. And then on the other hand, if they tell people to use water, then it creates low water pressure because so many people are at home and obviously can't go anywhere, which then runs the risk of a bull water advisory. So they're really kind of in a pick-your-poison situation there, which is no easy answer to that. And I think, in fairness, they erred on the side of we run the risk of potentially having a bull water advisory if something goes sideways. What we don't want is people busting their own pipes or other things as a result of not running water during the event. You know, the other thing, Tommy, that I don't think has really gotten enough attention as far as I've seen is obviously everybody knows the water pressure was stressed because there wasn't enough water because people were using so much. But also there was a power surge at Sewage and Water Board, which caused one of the pumps to go offline. And this just speaks, again, to this problem of you not only have ancient technology, but a serpentine system on top of that. That makes it just incredibly hard to run. And so, A, you have to have people who can really work that system and know what's going on. And B, the biggest hope, obviously, is when the new substation comes online this summer, we're not having these conversations anymore about what's going on with the water loss. So I know it's a royal pain for people to buy water, not use fountain drinks, for the restaurants to have to activate their action plans to do it. But in this instance, it was sort of you had a bad and a worse option. And so I think Sewage and Water Board elected for the one that was the least egregious.
Let's talk about Super Bowl preparations and barriers. And let's start with what has been deployed, and that's the ramp barriers that I saw being put down yesterday, right?
Yeah, and there were, I saw on Rampart yesterday, there were some additional barriers. I hadn't seen those before. I know for everybody who's traveling downtown, both Poydras and Canal Street are really tough at this point. Poydras, because the closings have happened closer to the Superdome. Those are going to extend out later in the week and into next week. And then on Canal, there's ongoing construction too. So there's two things going on simultaneously. Number one, of course, is the fact that there's ongoing construction. I don't think the fact that we lost a couple of days of the snow is going to have a major impact on that, other than the fact that it's going to be ongoing until the very end. And then number two, obviously there's the security measures that are in place, and I'm driving a little bit more past Canal and Bourbon, and there's definitely a huge truck that's parked in front of the intersection and sort of two side vehicles that are parked there too. And I'm sure they're looking at all the security measures that need to be done. And obviously we got that federal designation, the CR1, which means there's going to be a lot more federal presence here. And as I always assume, that really means it's going to be stuff, as you and I talked about maybe last time or two times ago, that it's going to be less visible to people, but it's deployed.
So when it comes to the barriers that are being put out, and those are the ramp barriers that are akin to a ferry boat ramp, if you will, that come up and come down. It doesn't take long. It's a hydraulic thing. Doesn't take them long to raise them or lower them, and it does block the street off completely. Those have been arranged, as I understand it, through GOCEP, that the governor's office arranged. Is that in cooperation with the city, or do you know?
No, it is in cooperation. I don't know that it was GOCEP who did it, but what I do know is, and this is a conversation I had yesterday with Michael Hecht, is that this is an all-hands-on-deck thing right now, and the state and the city and the private stakeholders are all in regular communications about where assets are to be deployed, what's going on. And look, I think the city has readily said, we will accept help, we will accept people, we will accept resources from federal, state, and other partners. And everybody knows we want the city to shine when the Super Bowl bright light is on us for the big game that's coming up. And so that means everybody's got to work together, and that's what's happening right now.
So Jacques Thibodeau, Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, director of GOCEP, saying that they're going to secure the entire French Quarter as well as the convention center for the NFL experience, as well as Superdome itself. You'll see a different level of security that you've not seen in New Orleans since 9/11 for Super Bowl 36. And we all remember the after 9/11, the troopers carrying, or whomever they were, National Guardsmen, whoever they were, carrying the semi-automatic rifles, et cetera. Are we expected to see that kind of level of security, or even more, kind of like we saw at the Sugar Bowl, for example?
I think it's going to be probably closer to the Sugar Bowl. Can I say you won't see people with the armed weapons? And look, Tommy, for those of us who live Katrina, we saw that around here, too. I mean, I remember very clearly.
Yeah, to be clear, for the Sugar Bowl, there were a lot of armed people, deputies I'm talking about.
There were armed people afterwards. I think there will be armed people. I think, again, everything, and again, this is what speaks to me, is the balance. What is the balance between having the armed people that you need? You need some visibility with it, without it also looking like a complete police state where people are scared to go do things because there's so much things. And look, the other part, too, is when you talk about additional security, it just means things are going to take a little bit longer. You may have to wait a little bit longer to go through the detector or wherever things are placed or how to get there. So the security measures are just also inevitably going to mean delays for people, too.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I had a conversation yesterday with Peter Whitford about Archer barriers and parade routes and Rose Bowl. And it was lengthy and detailed. And he said he presented the city with a plan that would keep the city safe. It involves leasing these Archer barriers and place them along the routes. And of course, it's different than the Rose Parade because that's a one-day event. Here along St. Charles Avenue and other places, they would have to take them down or rather move them during the day so that traffic could come and go. We'll talk more when we come back with Joe Geruso, 851, 9 till 9, Traffic Now, WWL. At 8:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Councilmember Joe Geruso. So I spoke with Peter Whitford yesterday, and y'all can go to online, WWL.com, and click on my name. You'll find the whole audio and the whole interview. It was pretty interesting. Peter Whitford, CEO of Meridian Rapid Defense Group. We've already discussed wedge barriers, which are like the ferry ramps that GOCEP has rented throughout Mardi Gras for the French Quarter. But when it comes to parade routes, Peter Whitford with Meridian Rapid Defense Group, and I understand he's in business, said that they secure the Rose Bowl parade. They have a plan for Mardi Gras, as he called it, the Mardi Gras. It involves 900 Archer barriers that the city would lease, that he says they could get them deployed and so forth and would keep the parade route safe. And I don't know how that would work with it being a multi-day event. And he also told me that he didn't quite know. He told me a couple of different things, Joe. One, that a deadline was approaching where he had to have a yes or no in order to proceed with this. And he also expressed some interest confusion as to who he was dealing with. Do you know who's handling this on part of the city, or have you been part of this at all?
No, I haven't been part of it, really. I guess a couple of things, Tommy. Number one is there is this group between NOSEP, which is the New Orleans Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness, and then NOPD, and, of course, then the other departments that are dealing with it. So I would expect collectively they would be making that decision. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to sound cynical about this, but one of the greatest selling techniques is to make somebody fearful of something and then say,
that's
here
why,
all the
look,
things
I said, and I said, he's in business. I said that, right?
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, you did. No, you did. You did. I'm being a little more blunt about it, mm-hmm. which is, I think part of what we all need to be careful about is we need to be smart about the way that we do business and the way that we do things. And sometimes that may mean changes and even things people don't like. And look, here's one of them. We've pulled, for example, tents and grills and other things off of the route. And as you and I have discussed before, those are things that potentially could be used as IEDs or other things. But then if somebody wants to bring a cooler or something else, you cannot stop that. So what is the smart way to do things and to make sure we're safe? And then what are the things that you just know when you have a big festival, even with the best laid plans, what are you trying to do? So I'm not poo-pooing his idea completely. All I'm saying is, the professionals, and also Bratton's supposed to be here providing advice on the ground too, both for the Super Bowl and for Mardi Gras, as I understand it. So I'd be curious where those guys are.
Who is running point on this for the city, I guess I'm wondering?
Yeah, I mean, that is not an easy answered question, because there's a group of people who seem to think NOSEP is in charge, and there's another group of people who think NOPD is in charge. And I still don't have an answer on that. I mean, that was a question I asked twice during the meetings that immediately followed the incident on January 1, and I still don't have an answer. So I'm with you on that. It's hard to know who do you go to or who has ultimate responsibility and authority when you can't even answer the question.
I could see where you could put these Archer barriers out on cross streets and then remove them after the parade, put them out before the parade. I could also see where that would be extremely expensive to do it, to have the manpower to do that.
Well, and you're going to alienate residents, too. Mm-hmm. That's the other problem is people expect I'm able to move here. If you're delayed, those people who live in the Uptown route are stuck in their own homes. They know that. Mm-hmm. But now you're adding another level of inconvenience for them too, and it's got to be done timely and well and all of those things. So that's part of it as well.
When he's talking about 900 barriers, again, it's always a trade-off, right? But I just don't know how that would work, because the Rose Parade is a one-day event, and this is a 10-day event. Thank you, Joe. Anything else?
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, that's all. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the freezing temperatures. Does that have any effect on roaches or termites? And then we'll talk to Judy Ho, licensed clinical neuropsychologist.